Welcome back to another season of the D-Fly and Dixie Show on the Inside Lacrosse Podcast Network. Before we get started, it's probably wise to give our new listeners a brief introduction of who we are. My name is Dan Flynn. I'm the Director of Business Development and Events here at Inside Lacrosse. I graduated from Johns Hopkins back in 1993, or what Blue Jays fans commonly refer to as the peak Dixon years. I'm joined, as always, by my old friend and fellow Blue Jay, Mark Dixon. We became friends back in the day when Dix played attack and midfield for the Blue Jays. In addition to his full-time job, Dix somehow continues to devote much of his life's energy to the sport in many ways. He's a youth coach, college-level referee, and probably best known for his work as a TV analyst on ESPN and the Big Ten Network, as well as a regular contributor at Inside Lacrosse. The guy is a wealth of lacrosse knowledge and also one of the funniest characters you will ever meet. So thanks for listening. And if you like what you hear, please tell a friend. Share the good news. Share the good word. Share this pod and give us a like on iTunes or however you download it. So now it's 2018. Dixie, let's get it. All right, welcome back to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast. Excited for another season. The 2018 season is about to get underway this week, Dix.
Can you believe it?
I know.
Can you believe it?
I'm really excited. It's at Inside Lacrosse. It feels like Christmas time in our office. Everyone's pretty pumped up. The meeting this morning was really exciting. First game is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. This podcast is going to drop on Wednesday morning.
Okay.
So the first game is tomorrow. Vermont at Furman.
Good game.
The season's upon us.
Yeah, it is. I think what's helped is it's been a weird winter in Baltimore. We had a week to 10 days worth of sub-zero temperatures or sub-freezing.
Yeah.
But with the wind chill, I think the regular temperature was in the single digits, and with the wind chill, it was in the negatives. And then we had a like 3 or 4 day stretch of 60, 65 degree
really
weather.
Really crazy warm weather. Yeah.
Then another cold front came through, and now we're in the midst of a mild stretch where it's been rainy and cloudy, but it's been high 40s, low 50s, which feels like summertime compared to the roller coaster. But I think that helps in preparation, especially with teams that are outside. A lot of teams have indoor facilities, or a good number of teams have indoor facilities, I should say. But yeah, the season's here, and this weekend we'll have some games. You also have some scrimmages as teams wrap up their preseason. But really, the season starts in earnest that weekend of, you know, February 9th, 10th, 11th, right around that.
It's about almost like 80% of the teams are playing games.
Right, right. And then you know, because D3 teams don't start practicing until Feb 1, which is this Thursday. So Thursday, right? Yeah, Thursday. Yeah. So it's here, man. Season is here, and we're pumped, and we're excited to get rolling.
Speaking about the season, the project that Inside Lacrosse has been working with STX, have you checked that out?
I think it's fantastic. I think it's really, really neat. The resources that have been put in by IL, by STX, really, really been fun to catch. I think they're about, what, 4 episodes deep?
Yeah, so it's been a good way to like carry you through the doldrums of the off season.
Right.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, you can check it out. STX and Inside Lacrosse worked together with 4 of STX premier programs: Ohio State,
Carolina,
Duke, and Syracuse.
Yeah, the Orange.
And it's following them through their offseason, through their fall ball, and in what their preparation is for the 2018 season, and it will continue through this spring. And Inside Lacrosse will be on site at a bunch of the games featuring those matchups of those two teams.
Awesome. That's cool.
Of those 4 teams, I should say. So, again, it's Duke, Carolina, Syracuse, and Ohio State, 4 of STX's premier programs. Very exciting stuff. And if you haven't seen it, look for it online. Each episode is maybe like 15 minutes long.
Yeah. It's not a hard watch. It's not time consuming.
Oh, no,
it goes by really, really fast.
And it's narrated by our guy, Kyle Harrison.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was hoping that Kyle would do the, in a world where lacrosse, you know, like the big voice, big intro.
He's too cool for that. He just does
in a world where lacrosse is missed and 4 schools vie for a national title.
But I mean, one of the crazy things is just like, you know, the storylines, who's going to wear 22? And then like the mumps. I thought like they like were exterminated. They hit Syracuse's lacrosse team last fall and they like missed fall ball.
Basically missed fall ball. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
How does that affect the team? Like if you missed fall ball, you think some guys are happy? Like guys who didn't get sick are like, oh, thank God I don't have to go out there and practice. I don't think so.
That's been a debate. And it's been a debate on the recruiting side of things. Like what's the benefit of fall ball for high school? And Ty Zander started a conversation on Twitter around the value of fall ball because of bad weather, muddy fields, and coaches, most anonymous, weighed in and were like, you know, we don't get a lot of value out of the fall. So I don't know. At the collegiate level, fall ball's always been fun. It's always been you just kind of roll the ball out, you play. You put a few things in, but not a lot. Guys that might need to work on academics may not play at all. Guys that are injured or recovering from injury may not play at all. So it really gives, you know, the freshman an acclimation into the college game. And typically the fall events are for charity or for fun at the collegiate level. So I do think there is some value in fall more just to get a taste, you know, if you're a newcomer, just get a little taste of what college ball is like. So, yeah, I do think it affected Syracuse because they graduated their two best players,
a lot of talent.
Nate Mariano and Sergio Salcido, and welcome back some players that are going to be prime time this year as opposed to more secondary of last year. And you know, they get some defenders back. So and they lose their faceoff man, Ben Williams, who was, you know, one of the best over the last 4 years. So I do think it will affect Syracuse a little bit, but not much.
Yeah, a lot of changes up in Syracuse this year, and a lot of talk in the preseason about where they should be. What, you know, based on reputation, they are squarely in the top 10 most polls, or top 15, and you know, is that an accurate ranking?
Time will tell, and yeah. that's the preseason, and you just have to let things play out. I like a lot of things that they bring back. I like Nate Solomon in that right-handed attack position. I like Jamie Tremboli at the midfield. For him, he will now get the pole and probably be the focal point of the opposing defense's game plan in the midfield. How will he handle that? How will he create? I like the fact that Nick Mellon comes back after missing last season with an injury. Fantastic freshman year, so we'll see what he has. Big question marks, though, depth and just how will these younger players, Stephen Rafis is another one on attack that is poised to have a nice season. But I feel like this year, Syracuse being ranked 9th in the faceoff yearbook is way too high. I've got them actually at 18 in my preseason poll, a little bit lower. I think Virginia's going to be much better in the ACC. I think Carolina might be better than some people think. I have Duke as my preseason number one. And Notre Dame is always incredibly difficult. So I see Syracuse having a tough time in conference. They start their out-of-conference play with 3 straight home games, but 2 of them are against teams that I think are pretty legit in 2018. Well, Binghamton is going to be better. Kevin McCune is doing a great job up in the Bing. And then you have Albany, who a lot of people think are going to championship weekend, and an Army, who was, in many people's opinion, first out last year for the NCAA tournament. I think the Selection Committee even said the Black Knights were the first out. So we're gonna find out real quick what the Syracuse team is made of. Nothing is won in January. It's all May. So this team, I think, is really playing with house money, with not a lot of expectations. There's no number 22 on the roster. So we'll see how things shake out for Syracuse.
All right, Dukes. Well, let's get right into it. So on Monday, Kyle Devitt and Dan Abern finished up their preseason preview with a sort of around the conference, around Division I lacrosse, highlighting each conference and predicting.
Do they pay rent? Because it's like they live here in the podcast room. How many podcasts have those guys cranked out? They're like a bad 80s band that releases like 4 albums a year, just like trying to keep that momentum going. How many podcasts have they had already in the new year?
This is our first year. I don't know. They are. I give them some credit.
I give them credit too. But they, for God's sake,
they turn them out. They're workhorses.
I'm telling you, they're like the little elves in Santa's factory. Just pushing them out.
And Kyle also does a lot of lacrosse industry podcasts.
Yeah, he's
which
like,
is pretty good.
You know.
But what I can't is, you know, one of the reasons that they are doing podcasts is just so that they can talk about Star Wars.
Oh, really? Nerd out with
their Star Wars. Okay. That was their, they sort of did a Face Off Yearbook Top 25 back in December when the new Star Wars movie came out. And I know you and I rushed out to see that. Not at all.
Look, I grew up on Star Wars. I loved, you know, all three of them back when I was a kid.
I think there's like 10 of them.
Yeah. And then
I think they even ranked them, and I didn't know of some of the movies that they were talking about.
Then the next trilogy came out, and my kids were growing up, and my oldest especially loved Star Wars. And I thought the movie where Anakin became Vader was awesome. I love that movie. Well, the true Star Wars guys.
What was it called? I watched The Force Awakens. I did see it. I think that was the last movie that came out.
I can't remember the one that where.
See, we're already doing it. We fell into the Devitt, yeah. Abrams.
But I'm saying
trap.
since I guess the latest trilogy came out, I could care less. I could give or take. You know, I mean, I am interested in seeing the latest one because Mark Hamill's in it, Carrie Fisher's in it. Is Harrison Ford in it again as Hans? But
no idea.
No, it's just a reminder that, like, you know, getting old. You know, when you see Mark Hamill looking, you know, geriatric in a film. You know,
Carrie
Fisher is no longer with us. Yeah. But no, I'm you know, I'll watch it at some point. But there's no.
Let's get to the lacrosse.
Yeah, so, you must about talking about Star Wars. Next thing you're talking about Battlestar Galactic or something.
So, they previewed in their recent podcast by conference.
Mm-hmm.
So let's the Inside Lacrosse Maverick Media Poll, Dix, the first one, the preseason
poll.
Yeah,
voted on it over the weekend. It
came
was great.
Out on Monday, released on InsideLacrosse.com.
Hot off the presses.
And let's take a look at this. This is how we'll sort of do our season preview. Let's get Mark Dixon's thoughts on these teams and some of these conference races, and we'll frame it by looking at the actual preseason top 20 in the Inside Lacrosse Maverick Media Poll. Now, I'll start by saying these are the teams that just fell just outside of the top 20. Hofstra, Villanova, Richmond, Penn, Cornell, Providence, Air Force, Navy, Bryant, Delaware. So a lot of teams. How do you feel? Is there anyone in there who you're thinking they should have cracked the top 20?
You know, I think in my preseason, I had Cornell at number 19. I think that they might be better than people think. They definitely have one of the most exciting players in the country in Jeff Teat. Who had a great second half of his freshman year last season. New coach, Peter Middleman, takes over. So I do think Cornell is a team that you know, preseason could be in the top 20, and I think by the end of the year may be there. And Villanova, I think, is another team that is they're pretty good. You know, they're pretty good. John Clue is back. I think it's, you know, his sixth year because of all the devastating knee injuries, and Devin McNamara is a good playmaker for the Wildcats. So, but other than that, I think it's pretty fair.
Any of those receiving votes teams that you feel are, you know, technically they're falling in the 21 to 30 range, basically. You know, Delaware was number 44 in our Face-Off Yearbook rankings that came out in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
They're in this receiving votes. Might be a little bit high for them.
I mean, I think it's whatever. I think it's preseason and, you know,
coaching change in Newark too.
You could, you know, with Ben DeLuca taking over, so I think there's some excitement. You know, Navy,
a lot of excitement.
Navy receiving votes is a little surprising. I think the midshipmen getting Casey Reese back, Grayson Terrain returns. I think they have, you know, they're looking to, you know, mitigate what they consider to be a disappointing 2017. Air Force, huge question marks. No one really knows what's going on at Air Force.
Very confused. I talked to an Air Force parent, a player, and there's a lot of uncertainty around that program. And it seems like the Academy just won't make an announcement. I think
Bill Wilson
is going to be named the head coach, but nothing has been set. Yeah. A decision has not been announced.
Yeah, so that wears on you big time.
It's affecting the kids.
And then Richmond, I think, is a team favorites in the SoCon, and rightly so. So I think I don't know where I had them. I did not have them in my preseason top 20 that I filled out. So they could be a little bit better. So that's the beauty of it. You know, all this stuff is great for us to talk about here, sitting here and at the end of January, but it really doesn't mean a whole lot.
So, Dix, let's get into the top 20 then.
Yeah.
One of the favorites in the Patriot League, or a contender in the Patriot League, Boston University checks in at number 20 in the Inside Lacrosse Maverick media poll. What are your thoughts on the Terriers?
A lot to replace. Great season last year, really a watershed kind of season for BU. A lot to replace, though. It starts with Dearth on offense is gone. And then their goaltender, Christian Carson Bannister.
Yeah, he was great last year.
Yeah, he really, really was. So this is the interesting thing for a young program like BU. You reach a certain level of success. Last season they went 12-5. Can you sustain the success? Can you replicate it? That's the trick for a team and a program like BU. So I think, you know, the jury's out on how they're going to play. Providence home opener, season opener. Then they travel to Ohio State, probably playing in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, where the Buckeyes have never ever lost in the history of their program. Then they got Dartmouth, and then they have an early season matchup with Navy, all at home. So I think, a conference game that early, they always play the midshipmen by the time February, before March even gets here. So I think they'll have a good sense of who they are. That's a good first four games to start out with for the Terriers.
Next two teams at 18 and 19 are two Ivy League teams who will be challenging Yale, who's the likely preseason favorite in
with
most
a bullet.
Accounts.
Like, yeah, Yale is, the Yale's expected to do great things
so
this year.
Princeton at 19 and Brown at 18. How do you think their chances are to catch Yale?
My question marks for Princeton are on the defensive end of the field, and they lose their defensive coordinator from a year ago, Jesse Bernhardt, who left to take the same role with University of Maryland. This team is going to be able to score goals, starting with Michael Sowers, 82 points last year as a freshman. Austin Sims is going to be a handful in the midfield. When he was not available last year, a couple games due to injury, they really struggled. So I think that offensively, this team is going to be terrific. Defensively is where, they were 52nd last year in goals against, giving up just over 11 a game, where they scored close to 15 goals a game, second best in the NCAA. It's hard. You're going to hear me probably say this throughout the podcast, throughout the season. It's hard to consistently contend for conference championships, national championships when you're winning games, 15-14, 15-12, that kind of thing. It can come back and bite you. So Tyler Blaisdell is a good goalie. He was forced to make a lot of saves last year. So I think offensively, Princeton is very, very good. My questions are on the defense. Brown's an interesting team. The guys that were running gun and got them to the championship weekend, they're all gone. But certainly they're going to be able to score goals. They were fourth last year in the NCAA, scoring 14 and a quarter goals a game. But again, defense, giving up close to 13 goals a game, they're ranked 62nd in the NCAA. So again, it's a situation where a lot of offense, a ton of offense, but who's going to step up and play D? Who's going to get the stops? And that's interesting when you think about the Ivy Leagues. Typically, outside the Colonial, been sort of a black and blue league, known for defense, known for tight games, and then things have really opened up offensively in the Ivy League over the last 3-4 years, and I think it continues this year.
All right, Dix, coming in at number 17 in the Inside Lacrosse Maverick media poll, preseason edition, Marquette.
I mean, what can you say about the Golden Eagles and the job Joe Amplo has done 2 years in a row? The primary reason Rutgers doesn't get into the NCAA tournament,
yeah.
Because Denver doesn't hold serve in the Big East tournament. And each year it was, it's Marquette springing upsets against the Pioneers. So, this is a team, Marquette. So we're talking, what are they in the poll? 17th.
Yeah.
I had them 2019, 18, 17. I had them ranked 15th in the poll. I had Brown at 20. I had Brown at 20, Cornell 19. Princeton I have at 17, Marquette I've got at 15, so a little different than the rest of the voters.
Now their leading scorer, Tanner Thompson, is out for the season.
Out for the season with an injury. I was gonna mention that, so that's a huge hit. And this is a team that doesn't score a ton of goals to begin with. 9.5 goals a game last year, 44th in the NCAA, but they play great defense. They've always played good defense, and they give up, you know, right around 9.3 goals a game. They were 20th last year in the NCAA. So if they can win faceoffs, they're going to be in good shape. Decent goaltender, Cole Blazer, you know, 53, 54%. This is a team that they grind you out, you know, and now that they can play at home, you know, they got games at home. Yeah. That's not an easy trip to go to Milwaukee and play these guys. And it looks like, let's see, they got Jacksonville to open the season at home. Then they go to Detroit Mercy. Then they've got Ohio State, Bellarmine, and Robert Morris. The Bellarmine and Ohio State games are being played in Michigan and Detroit. But in essence, that is kind of a home game for them, I guess. I like the early season schedule. I think they can find their footing and get some success. And you know, look at that backloaded schedule, though, when you look at Notre Dame, at Duke, and at Denver to end the regular season. And that'll get them ready for conference tournament as well as possibly NCAA tournament. So, you know, Marquette, nice squad out there. I got them. I think they're the third best team in the Big East this year. I would put Villanova ahead of them at this juncture just based on that injury to Tanner Thompson.
They have Villanova at home, which is a big benefit to them.
Sure.
At the end of March.
Yeah.
And that'll be a pivotal game in where how the standings line up. I would say that, you know, given their schedule of Georgetown, Villanova, and Providence, three of their tougher games in the Big East, all at home, I think that that shapes up really well for them.
Sure. And don't sleep on Georgetown. Matt Kinnear's been telling me in the preseason, he goes, I think Georgetown's going to be sneaky good this year.
I hope so.
And they played a heck of a – it was a scrimmage. You know, it's a scrimmage, so it doesn't count. But they gave Maryland all they could this past weekend for three quarters until I think both teams emptied their benches. So Georgetown could be a lot better than people think
in 2018. I hope so. They should be a lot better than they have been the last few years. All right. Coming in at number 16, the Black Knights.
Army. Hungry is the word I think I would use to describe Army. And this is a team that I was able to write about for the capsules that we do for the website Inside Lacrosse. And this team can win close games. You know, when you look at last year, they beat Syracuse by a goal in the regular season. They beat Notre Dame by a goal in the regular season. This team can win close games. The problem is when they lose with gusto. They lost to Loyola 13-4 last year as well as 14-6. The former was in the Patriot League championship game. So they've got to find a way to really, you know, kind of get over that Loyola hump that they didn't in 2017. I like David Sims at the midfield. I think he is underrated, and I think he's one of the better midfielders not only in the Patriot League, but in the country as well.
I love their goalie, A.J. Barreto.
Yeah. No, he's probably an IL committed guy, right?
So, no.
He's not? Oh, okay.
Before the committed academy started, but a local kid from Baltimore I saw play at St. Paul's.
Yep, he's a St. Paul's guy.
Really good kid and a real good player. He's been starting for them. This will be his third year starting on goal.
I really like their defense as well. What I think Army will struggle with is at the faceoff dot. Dan Grabber graduates, and the person that's taken his spot only took 30 draws last year, and he's also their short stick.
It's not a lot of experience.
Yeah, he's also their short stick D midfielder. So that's taxing doing those dual roles. So Army's going to have to figure something out.
Is that the hardest position to play in lacrosse?
What's that?
Short stick defensive midfielder.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, you know, but I mean, for as much as I don't like the face off anymore, being a Fogo sucks. I mean, those guys are, you know, getting ground down there and battling and, you know, shoulders, elbows, knees, feet, and everybody's, you know, trying to find different ways to cheat and rip your arms and hyperextend your elbows and things like that. But short stick D midi, you're always getting picked on because that's who wants to dodge, who coaches want to dodge. They constantly want to test the shorties, and that's where they want the focal point of the offense to be created from. So it's pretty taxing.
Number 15, the Virginia Cavaliers check in. Second year in Charlottesville for Lars Tiffany and company. And they've got some athletes down there.
Big time.
Our last 3 years of number one midfielders stacking up there in Ryan Conrad, Dox Aiken, and now Matt Moore.
Yeah, so I have them preseason ranked 9th, which might be a little high, but I
agree with you. I think 15 is a little low, and we had them 16 in the faceoff yearbook. So right. I think somewhere near the top 10, fringe of the top 10.
Yeah, and they're going to score a lot of goals. That's Lars Tiffany's DNA and likes to play that up-tempo, fast style. They scored just over 14 goals a game last year, 14.4, best for third in the NCAA. But common theme, who's going to play defense? You know, they gave up 13.2, 13.3 last year, 65th in NCAA Division I. This is a program that's only won, I think, one conference game, one ACC game over the last three, 4 years. I think this is the year they do get it turned around. I think that they will be pretty good. I mean, they've got, you mentioned Conrad, you mentioned Dox Aiken. Michael Krause had a fantastic year a season ago.
Fill it up.
Yeah, 56 points. They're just going to have to find a way to win faceoffs. And they're going to have to find a way to get stops.
And they have a freshman goalie. Yeah. Our, I think our number one goalie in the freshman class.
Another St. Paul's guy. Yeah, Alex Rohde. He's terrific. Was the best high school goaltender, I think, last year. But that's a big difference between high school and college. So we'll see what he can bring to the table. But I think this team is poised to break out in Lars Tiffany's second year.
Now, a team that's going to play almost an opposite style of the Cavaliers is our number 14 team, the Towson Tigers. Coming off a trip to the semifinals last year, they need to replace almost all their scoring.
Yeah.
But their defense is intact.
The defense is terrific. When you think about Chad Patterson, their number one cover guy, comes back. Sid Yule is a great number. I mean, he's not a number two. But when he's your number two, you know you got a pretty darn good defense. There's a battle going on right now in the cage. I think Josh Miller may get the nod. He started 7-8 games last year for Towson. So they're great defensively. They gave up just over 7.5 goals a game last year, third-ranked defense in the NCAA. Sean Adelman's done a magnificent job, national semifinalist a year ago. The huge question mark is on the offensive end.
Now they have some new players, right?
They do.
Some transfers.
Yeah, Tim Monahan from the University of Maryland is new. I'm hearing great things about a couple of the newcomers, and Monahan is one of them. They return John Mazza, who's a good scorer, but Mazza with 20 points is their top returning scorer. Their second and third leading returning scorers, Zach Goodrich, who's the best short stick defensive midfielder in the country, and Alex Woodall, who's our FOGO.
Yeah.
So when your SSDM and your FOGO are your second and third returning leading scorers, that really, you know, points to, okay,
you're starting over.
Yeah. We have got to get this cranked up again. So it'll be interesting to see. And Woodall is a terrific faceoff guy. So I think they're gonna be able to control games, I think. I think they're gonna be able to control tempo, and they're going to win a lot of, or be in a lot of 6-5, 7-6 kind of games. I see that for Towson this year. They kick things off at Hopkins, knocked the Blue Jays off last year, and then they get Mount St. Mary's and Georgetown at home, and then they're at Loyola to start. You know, that's their month of February. So a lot of local flavor for the Towson Tigers to kick off 2018.
So that's a good segue right into our number 13 team, the Johns Hopkins Blue Jays, who will play Towson in that first game that you mentioned on February 10th. It's a big game. It'll be at Homewood Field. The Blue Jays, this is a big season for them. And apparently they made some systematic changes in the offseason. Do you think that's going to help?
Well, Coach Petromalo has been very vocal about trying to find a way for this team to be fresher at the end of the season. You know, going into the Big Ten tournament, going into the NCAA tournament, two consecutive years of losses in the Big Ten semifinals, and then two blowout losses in the first round of the NCAAs, at Brown in 2016, and then at home last year against Duke. So the Blue Jays are trying to find a way to be fresher at the end of the season to try to avoid that. One of the ways to avoid it, they've got to get better goaltending. I mean, it's just plain and simple. Their goaltending down the stretch last year, and defense as well, for Hopkins was pretty poor. When you look at their last couple of games, losing to Maryland 12-5, losing to Ohio State 15-13, and then losing to Duke 19-6. You know, so you give up
a lot of goals.
You give up a lot of goals against some very, very good teams. And I covered the Maryland game. I mean, I've never seen a Hopkins-Maryland game over that fast. I mean, that game was over in the first 6-7 minutes. And that rarely, if ever, happens in that great rivalry. So
it's like the Princeton game. And Princeton just blitzed Hopkins early, too.
They did. But Hopkins has pieces back on the offensive end. Kyle Maher was fantastic last season. I think that was a real breakout season for him. Joel Tinney, he's battling some injury, but he should be healthy by the season opener. And I think, really, their biggest shot in the arm is the return of Patrick Foley on defense. Many people think not only is he their best defenseman, many people think he's the best player on that team. So he's going to bring a level of intensity, a level of talent, and a level of energy that's really going to give these guys a boost. But again, it's much needed on that defensive end, and they're going to have to get better goaltending and better defensive play to go where they want to be.
We'll talk about some player of the year kind of stuff later, but there's some great defensemen in the Big Ten this year. Is Foley right in the mix with the top three guys?
I mean, you look at Sabia at Penn State, you look at Rex Road at Rutgers, and then the best of them all, in my opinion, is Randall at Ohio State. I think
and
he's
Maryland has a couple good ones.
And Maryland, has Curtis Corley, Bryce Young are the next in line. But remember, Maryland graduated the D-man of the year, the Schmeiser Award winner in Tim Mueller. But the Cubbers never bear on the defensive side of the ball in Maryland. I think Foley missing last year, he's off people's radar in those regards. And he should be. I mean, he didn't play in 2017, but I think he has the tools to be in that conversation without question. And he's different than those guys. I think he's a little bit more athletic than the five or six guys we just mentioned. So he's different, and he's a difference maker, and I think he could have a really strong season.
Well, we'll certainly find out who the Blue Jays are in the month of February and early March with Towson at Loyola, North Carolina, Princeton at Syracuse in the first five games of the season.
Year in, year out, they play the best schedule, typically. I know Duke has ramped up their schedule, and they're in that conversation for toughest schedule in the country. But, that's a pretty sweet quintet of games that you got there.
Considering you're going to finish up with five straight
Big Ten games. Yeah, exactly.
It's tough. And then throw in Virginia there, too. A game at Virginia into the mix, and it's a tough one.
It is.
All right, moving on. Another Big Ten team. Let's talk about Penn State.
Yeah.
I have barely mentioned them yet in any of these. You mentioned they have some players at each level that are up for preseason accolades.
Yep. Yeah, I think their strength starts at the faceoff dot with Jared Arcieri. He went through the typical freshman season, dominated early, hit a brick wall in the middle of the season, dealt with some injuries, had to make some adjustments, but I think he was pretty strong down the stretch. Penn State likes to use multiple faceoff guys, and they've got a freshman, Jake Glatz, who's capable and had a nice fall, so he can spell Arcieri. Offensively, this team will really miss, in my opinion, Nick Aponte. He was like the Swiss Army knife on attack.
Him.
Just high energy, great ride, real leader, And they say goodbye to three senior midfielders as well. So, they get Grant Amit, they get Mac O'Keefe back. They've got guys returning at the midfield that'll be really strong. You talk about Kevin Hill as somebody, Ryan Keenan, very, very capable. But Penn State likes to go two midfields deep. They like to run six offensive midfielders, equal play time. So the question is, who's going to fill that second midfield lineup? Defensively, they welcome everybody back, which is great news. But then when you look at the fact that they gave up almost 11 goals a game last year, I think this unit, led by Chris Sabia, has the ability to be one of the best in the Big Ten. Will they or will they not be is the big question. Colby Kinese will return as a starter. Trying to find that consistency in the goal has been, Kinese had some good games last year, but I also watched him have really struggle at times. So we'll see how the defense is able to work things out, because Penn State's going to get the ball, and they're going to be able to score goals, I think. Again, it goes back to, will they be able to stop people?
One more team outside the top 10, number 11, Syracuse. A lot of question marks. You talked a lot about them earlier. Anything you want to add about them?
Not really. No, I think maybe something I didn't mention was the graduation of Evan Malloy in the goal, I think, is huge. Dom Madonna looks like he's going to get the starting job. And they had a great scrimmage this past weekend against Hofstra. According to unofficial scores, they beat the Pride somewhere around 9-10-4-ish, something along those lines. But I think, right up the middle, they've got major replacement, in replacing Malloy and then replacing Ben Williams at the faceoff dot. So two really question marks for the Orange entering 2018. I had them ranked. I've got them ranked 18th in my preseason poll.
Yeah, so that's a big difference.
Penn State, I forgot to mention. So just for transparency, let me see. Who do we cover? I know Hopkins, so I've got Hopkins. I have Hopkins 12th. I've got Penn State 8th in my poll. I've got Army 13th. I've got Loyola 14th, Marquette 15th, Towson 16th in my preseason poll. Just trying to be accountable for you, that's all.
Dix, I had a very simple New Year's resolution. Sweat more. When I'm working out, Tramino protein-infused water is what I like to drink. Tramino has 7 grams of whey protein and essential B vitamins to fuel your game. No sugars, no carbs, and only 28 calories. Tramino is ideal before, during, or after your workout, and it tastes great. It comes in 7 delicious flavors, including 3 new ones, citrus, orchard, and raspberry limeade. Tramino increases energy and endurance and even curbs your appetite, so you can play hard, not hungry. Protein has never tasted so good. All right, Dix, now into the top 10. You just mentioned this team, the Loyola Greyhounds.
Okay. What about them?
Let me hear your preseason spiel about the Loyola Greyhounds.
Way to host this thing. Way to team me up, man. I mean, for real. So Loyola, when you look at the Greyhounds, they're an interesting team. I think they're going to be really strong at attack. Pat Spencer, one of the best players in the country, 2-time first-team All-American, 83 points last year as a sophomore. They're going to move Alex McGovern back to the midfield where he played some attack last year. But I think with the graduation of guys like Romar Dennis and Brian Sherlock, he becomes really a main guy in the midfield. Defensively, the top 4 guys are back. So that's good news. And this was a top 10 defense last year, giving up, right under 8.5 goals a game, ranked 10th in the NCAA. They scored 12 and a quarter goals a game last year, 11th in the country, so very, very balanced. I think this is the team to beat in the Patriot League. Jacob Stover is an accomplished goaltender who's been up and down a little bit, but I think he's been more up than down during his time at Evergreen. And faceoffs, are going to be kind of a bugaboo this year. They lose their top faceoff man and Savio, so they will get a new faceoff man, but yeah, I think Loyola kind of likes it this way, where, they're in that 12 spot and not a ton of expectations, although they are expected to be the best team in the Patriot League. But, when you look at their schedule at Virginia, then they have Hopkins, Lafayette, and Towson in the first month of the year. So pretty different teams that they're going to face. Virginia run and gun. Hopkins can play, they want to. Yeah, they can play any style you want, but they're going to slow it down probably if they have the opportunity. Lafayette, who knows what the Leopards are going to offer, in the Patriot League, and that's a conference game. And you got Towson and a nasty Fogo and a lockdown defense. So different styles in the first 4 games of the season, I think, will really tell the tale for Loyola. But I do think that they're the favorite in the Patriot League. They're going to play good defense, and you've got to lock down Pat Spencer. And Spencer's shown that he can assist and move the ball with the best of them, and he's going to have guys that he can get the ball to.
Number 9, North Carolina Tar Heels. Lost a lot as well. And there's some, I think Dan and Kyle think that they might bring up the rear in the ACC. They're the number 9 team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And what are your thoughts on the Chapel Hillians?
Well, Joe Brushy's said it. In the fall, he said it in the preseason, that we need to find out who we are. We need to establish an identity. And they get back Cloutier, which is he's a handful to deal with. Timmy Kelly returns in the midfield, so I think that's, pretty promising. And they got a lot of sophomores coming back, that's for sure. Will Perry, Tanner Cook. I think defensively they get back one of the better ones in the conference in Ryan Macri. I don't know. This team's going to be athletic. I think they're going to be very, very athletic. The question is, how do they come together? How do they go about being sort of an unheralded team and someone that a lot of people think will bring up the rear in the ACC. I think right now they're a little bit better than Syracuse. That remains to be seen. You know, once those guys meet, I think they're scheduled to meet in mid-April. But when you look at their schedule, Lafayette, Furman, Lehigh, all at home, all winnable games. So that could get their confidence going right off the bat. That could get them in a groove, you know, gelling. And then they travel to Johns Hopkins. Then they get Mercer and St. John's back at home. So five of the first six games are at home.
And winnable.
All winnable. Even the game on the road at Johns Hopkins, very, very winnable. So I think it's a very cozy schedule with the group that Joe Bresci returns, trying to find an identity to get their feet wet.
Who's going to play goal for them?
I don't know. Good question. I'm not sure.
Jack Bazula, very highly ranked goalie. I think our number one goalie 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's a sophomore now. And then they have a freshman who's battling for that as well.
I wasn't even
played a lot in the fall.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to bring up the goalie situation just because it's so nebulous at this point in time. But it has to be figured out quick because they open up this weekend against Lafayette.
Number 18, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Mm-hmm. Oh, forgot. Hold on. So Carolina, I've got Carolina preseason ranked 7th, which is high when I look at.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I got them ranked 7th. I had Penn State ranked 8th. Syracuse, again, 18th.
Where do you have Rutgers, our number 18?
I tell you, man, I'm high on Rutgers. And even with the loss of Charlon Bedis,
that's a tough story.
Really, really tough news coming out of Piscataway last week with the loss of Charlon Bedis when he battles back and is healthy and ready to play, and then he goes down with another season-ending injury. But I think this team is scary good, loaded with seniors. The big thing for Rutgers will be, instead of being the hunters, now they're kind of the hunted in 2018. How will they handle that? I was able to catch up with Brian Breck back in December. He quickly reminded me. He's like, look, he goes, there's all these expectations. I get it. We're going to, hopefully we'll be good. But he's like, keep in mind, he goes, I'm the only coach in the Big Ten that's never been to championship weekend. Now that Kevin Connery's at Michigan, I'm the only coach that has not had a taste of championship weekend. And he's right.
Wow.
So he's like, we're hoping to really enter uncharted waters. But I do think this team, they're hungry, and they've got to play with attitude because they barely missed the NCAA tournament the last 2 years. So what does that mean? I mean, that means maybe an extra win in conference, being able to solve Maryland, being able to knock off the Terps would be great. Being able to find a way to beat Hopkins. They've lost to both Hopkins and Maryland in the regular season the last two times. I'm sorry, take that back. They have found a way to beat Hopkins. I apologize. Maryland is the one, is kind of their Moby Dick in the Big Ten. So trying to find a way to beat Maryland. I love the fact that they've reinstituted the Syracuse game. They'll play March 18th at Rutgers. I think that's awesome. I think it's fantastic. But again, Jules Hennenberg at attack, Kieran Mullins returns in the midfield. You got Casey Rose, Christian Trazzolini returns from injury. Defensively, Michael Rexrode is terrific. And then you've got Max Edelman in the goal, who's a junior college transfer. He'll be the second-year starter. I think he just really got better as the season went on last year. So I've got Rutgers ranked preseason number 5. I think they're going to really put it together in Piscataway this year and make a run at not only a Big Ten conference championship, but, an NCAA championship weekend appearance as well.
Wow. Moving on, a team who did make it to the NCAA championship weekend last year for the first time and advanced to the national championship game, the Ohio State Buckeyes check in at number 7 in the Inside Lacrosse Maverick media poll.
Yeah, so Ohio State for me, where do I have the Buckeyes? I've got them ranked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th in the preseason. Interesting. So every time Ohio State has a record-breaking year,
they fall back a little bit.
They fall back and produce a clunker the following season. So replicating the success will be key for Ohio State. The glaring weakness of this team, if you want to call it that, is leadership. When you think about what Eric Fennell brought to the team last year, Tom Carey in the goal, and first and foremost might be Jake Withers, their faceoff man. Just what the attitude and their leadership that those three brought to the table, you can't, it's intangible. You really can't quantify that, but the cupboard certainly is not bare. Trey LeClair, I think, is poised to be a first-team All-American in 2018, and that's saying a lot when you consider all the fantastic, talented attackmen that are back in college lacrosse. At the midfield, you know, Jack Jasinski is not a secret anymore. You know, the little jitterbug and the quickness. So they're going to have to really replace him. I'm sorry, replace, you know, middies like Johnny Pearson in the midfield. But what are they going to do with the faceoff? Jake Withers brought them so much. And in the goal, you know, kind of right up the middle. Who are they going to get to take their spots? The good news is I think this defense is scary nasty. I think this defense has the capability to be the best in the country. And Ben Randall, I think, is the front runner for the Schmeiser. I think he is the best defenseman in the country.
What makes him so good?
I think it's his length and his discipline. You know, just he just is always there, if that makes sense. It's hard to – he doesn't get beat all that much. He just he's always got a stick in the gloves. He's intelligent. He's disciplined. He's long. I just think he is your, like, kind of what the shutdown defender has become. You know, he reminds me of a Notre Dame defenseman, and, you know, very efficient, not flashy, but he just locks you down and doesn't let you do what you want to do.
Makes you miserable.
Pretty much. You know, he doesn't slide a whole lot, doesn't leave his matchup a whole lot. So I just think he is, I mean, you know, he's special. He really, really is. But, you know, it's also about the guys that are around you. And they return Matt Borges. Jeff Henrick ran long stick midfield last year. It looks like he's going to be a starter at close. You know, and then you got Freddie Freibot and Eric Evans. So Eric Evans has been a starter at close the last couple of years. He may be bumped out of starting rotation. Like, that's how good Ohio State is defensively. He might bump and play some long stick midfield and share the responsibility of Freddie Freibot. So... but again, big question marks. Who's going to face off? Who's going to play goalie?
Now, you mentioned Randall reminding you of a Notre Dame defender. The Fighting Irish check in at number six in the poll. And it feels like a new era with some of the guys that they graduated.
Yeah, it does. Sergio Perkovic is gone. Kavanaugh. Was Kavanaugh senior last year?
He was the year before that.
Year before, okay. I love Matt Kavanaugh. I think he's terrific. But you're right. They return a new era.
The face of their program the last 2 years has been Kavanaugh and then Perkovic.
Sure.
And they're gone.
Well, and Garrett Eppel also, sure. You know, defensively and you know, the guys they've had. And they return, you know, John Sexton is terrific on the defensive end of the field. They got a really good faceoff man in John Travisano, I think, is going to do some special things. Here's the thing. I'm not sold on Notre Dame, and I've got them ranked preseason number 12. And here's why. I think their best returning offensive player is Ryder Garnsey. He tried to transfer in the offseason and I guess ultimately decided to stay at Notre Dame. Where is he mentally? I'm sure he's probably in a good place, but that's a more of a question mark, more of a red flag for me.
Sure.
You know, so what's he going to be like mentally playing for Notre Dame? Because he's got some great pieces around him when you talk about Mikey Wynn, a terrific finisher and really a beneficiary of a lot of Garnsey feeds. Brian Costabile, I thought, was one of the best, if not the best, freshman midfielder last year in the nation. And he's poised to have a breakout season. So really, you know, what I guess my question marks coming into 2018 for Notre Dame is what's the chemistry going to be like for the Fighting Irish?
All right, Dix, we're into the top five. And we gave these guys a little bit of love earlier, but the Yale Bulldogs are poised for a Memorial Day weekend trip for the first time.
Yeah, and it's interesting because last year, I know I've got Yale ranked 3 in my preseason. I was on the Bulldog train last year, and I think I had him top 5, and I had an opportunity to catch up with Andy Shea, and he was very honest. He's like, we're not that good. He goes, we are not that good.
Why would he say that?
Well, I think he knew, he knew where the holes in his team were. So, you know, defensively, this team was not very good last year, gave up 10.3 goals a game, 31st in the country. And that's, you know, when you think of it, okay, middle of the road, but that's not acceptable for Yale lacrosse. I'm excited for them this year. They've got to find somebody in the goal, to take that over. And you've got guys like Phil Hufford, Hoyt Krantz, There's a freshman involved. Going into the fall, it was a four-man race, basically. So who's going to emerge as that goaltender? Because I tell you, they've got a really good defender in Aiden Hines. He guarded – I did a game on television last year for ESPNU, and it was Princeton-Yale, and Hines guarded Michael Sowers and really did a great job on Sowers. So I think he's very, very good. Connor Mackey at the faceoff is excellent. I think he's probably the best in the conference. What about 60% last year? And then you look at the offense. You know, Sessa, 35 points. Matt Gaudette, great finisher, 37 points. Jackson Morrill, 39 points. That's balance. Then you get to the big dog. Then you get to Ben Reeves. You know, Tuareton finalist, what, 2 years now, right? 2 years in a row? I think he's been a finalist 2 years in a row. If not, he was a finalist last year, yeah. Playing through injury. He's special. He's terrific. And they had the ninth-ranked offense, scoring just under 13 goals a game last season. This team is poised to do some special things. The quarterfinal round has always been their Achilles heel, not being able to get past the quarters.
It's a lot of teams' Achilles heel.
You know what? I mean, we're going to be talking about Albany soon, and we can say the same thing about the Great Danes. And but Yale, when you look at their schedule, at Villanova to start the season, I think that's a great opening season game. I think Villanova's going to be much better.
Yeah, but a late start for them. They start on the 17th.
February 17th, yeah. So they'll be fresh when other teams get a couple.
Look at the schedule, though. Five of their first six games on the road.
On the road. So they're going to find out who they are real quick. And not super easy places to play, you know, at Bryant, at UMass, at Fairfield.
At Cornell.
Then at Cornell, you know, to begin conference play. So I do think this Yale team is very, very good. The first six games of the year will be telling, though. But you got to like that back end, you know, playing a lot of those games at home. Got to like that back half of the schedule.
And they're very well coached.
Excellent. You know, really, you know, a disciplined ball club. And Andy Shea's done some great things up there. It's just a matter of getting them, you know, again, they're the hunted this year instead of being a hunter. Yeah. And how do you reset or adjust that mind, that way of thinking?
Number four team features maybe the best player in all of college lacrosse, who just dominates faceoffs, and Trevor Baptiste. He's on the cover of our most recent issue of Inside Lacrosse. Get it now, either in your mailbox or at a newsstand. There's a cool feature in there. Each of the 50 states, we list the top college player, either men's or women's college player, currently, not all time, but this year, college news. You mentioned Jack Jasinski earlier.
Yeah, Alabama.
Top player from Alabama in there. It's just a cool feature
where
a lot of guys who don't get a lot of recognition from some out-of-the-way non-lacrosse hotbeds, but it's really a cool feature in there. But our man on the cover, Trevor Baptiste, there's a feature story on him, and he's just a beast. He's one of a kind.
You know, and not only is he an incredible face-off man, he's a good guy. I've had the opportunity to talk with Trevor Baptiste a couple of times. He's a good dude.
You know what always blows my mind is our man, Todd Cavallaro, the head coach at Franklin Marshall. You know he was going there? Can you imagine? Listen, I think we've talked about this before, what he would do at the Division III level of faceoffs.
Listen, you don't want to bring that up
to Cavi.
Cavi's, you know, I mean, you're right. I mean, he was set to go to Franklin and Marshall, and then, you know, the Denver coaches happened to see him play at an event. I don't want to be too dramatic, but the course of college lacrosse is dramatically different than it could have been had no one ever seen Trevor Baptiste play, you know, at that summer event or at a summer event. You know, it really
helped to win a national championship.
Big time as a freshman.
Yeah. All right. So the Pioneers.
On the United States national team.
Yeah, I know.
Very well deserved.
The only college player on there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He is. He is. Yeah. Connor Kelly was the other one that made the travel roster but did not make the final team.
On the U.S. team, there may be some college players on the Canadian roster, which I don't.
Yeah, know. Yeah, we're talking about United States national team, but you know, Baptiste is fantastic. He's just, so
but he's
strong.
Not all the Pioneers have.
No, absolutely.
Ethan Walker returning, Austin French, Colton Jackson.
What do you want to do? My job for me now? Okay,
I'm just,
go ahead.
I'm just
go ahead.
Want some names out there?
Go ahead. Roll with it, brother. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's all you. It's
go
all
ahead.
You.
No, go ahead.
It's all you.
Go ahead. You hit the nail right on the head, and I think defensively they're going to be better. I think Sean Mayo is a terrific long stick midfielder. Alex Reddy has to be better this year. He has to be. I thought he was very inconsistent last season. Thought he played a pretty strong game in the national semifinals that they lost to Maryland, but throughout the year he was up and down. ended up with only 49% save percentage. He has to be better than that. I mean, this is a, you know, you look at Denver starting the season at Air Force, at Duke, Cleveland State, at Furman, at North Carolina. I think they win all those games. I do. Even though Duke is, we're going to get to them in a second, but it's early, and Duke, you know, typically has that maturation process. And also Duke is replacing their faceoff man, and Hem Baptiste is just, you know, it's almost unfair. I think this team is, man, I had them in preseason. I have a number four, and I think they're poised to make another run to Foxborough without question.
Got a question for you. A fun little experiment here. Mm-hmm. So last year, Trevor Baptiste had 12 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Over, under on that. Do you think he could?
I'll go 15.
Really?
I'll go 15. Yeah, above. I think he's going to have more. Yeah, I'll go 15. Yeah.
They're going to be fun to watch all season long.
Yeah, sure. And it's hard because Baptiste is so dominant and so good. And on top of it all, he's such a good guy. I still don't think he should be up for the Tourathon. I still don't think he should be in the conversation for Player of the Year. Just because all he does is face off. He does score goals. Don't get me wrong. He does score goals. But I guess I'm still, maybe I'm just too traditional in that, you know, there's two-way middies where the guys that are on the field, you know, much more, much longer, you know, deserve that kind of recognition, that kind of accolade. But he's changing the way people think.
Do any of these teams that we're talking about in the top 20, do they have a two-way midfielder who also faces off, or do they all have exclusive Fogos for the most part?
Let's look. All right, good question. I think most of them are Fogos. No, Fogos.
Yeah.
What am I thinking? I don't even need to look at this. Yeah, there's no...
Are there any, like, All-American candidate guys who play midfield who also face off?
I don't think so.
No, like even like Kyle Harrison back in
the
day.
Yeah, there's no functional face-off men, as I like to call them, really, in the game right now. Guys that are going to face off and then take a regular shift playing on the offensive end of the field.
The game has changed.
It really has. It really has.
Speaking of the game changing,
mm-hmm.
The Albany Great Danes.
Yeah.
So much buzz, so much hype, so much fun watching them play. A lot of excitement up in Albany, New York State Capitol, mm-hmm. about this team this year.
Scoobies, you know, and
the Dane train.
The Dane, okay, good.
The Dane train, as Kyle and Devitt likes to say.
Okay. Scott Maher has done a magnificent job at Albany, and his team's just match his personality. You know, easygoing, good-natured, likes to have fun. I mean, I can't wait to see the team photos this year, the headshots. I mean, that is epic. I think there was a tweet last week that teased it, saying today's the day headshots are being taken. You know, the photos are being taken. So that's always...
In reference to it's what they do to facial hair, clothes, bow ties,
hairstyles, shirts, the whole nine. You know, it's an adventure.
Yeah, there's rare to see a guy smile, though. It's usually...
Right.
It's pretty serious business.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
But again, you know, this team starts with Connor Fields on attack.
Is he your preseason favorite for the Tuareton?
I think he could be up there. I like Ben Reeves at Yale.
The answer is no, then, if he's not, yes.
I don't really have, I haven't really established a favorite, to be honest with you.
I don't either.
There's so many talented guys.
Might not be a fair question.
Yeah, why don't you bust my chops, but you don't have.
You're the expert.
Yeah, but you can still have an opinion, and you don't, so be quiet. Come on. You don't have anything to say now, huh?
I'm laughing.
You don't have anything to say now, do you?
I'm just laughing.
No, I'm just kidding. He's great.
I think he is. He's my preseason favorite.
Oh, so now, okay.
No,
right,
he is.
Good.
I just thought about it for a little bit. Pat Spencer is up there, Ben Reeves, but I think Albany's going to be in the top five all season long, and he's going to score a crap load of goals.
He will. Well, number one returning offense in the country, you know, 15.4 goals a game. And not that bad as defensively as I thought they may have been. They gave up 9.5 last year to be ranked 21st in the country.
They have a good goalie.
They do. J.D. Colarusso's good goalie. They got one of the best faceoff guys around. T.D. Ireland.
Love that kid.
Is terrific. But defensively, that will be the question. You know, what group of defenders? They got all three starters back. You know, Stone Sims is back. A.J.
That's
Clark.
That's a great name, by the way.
And Eric Dooley.
For a defender.
Yeah.
Stone Sims.
So they got guys back. You know, it's kind of like Penn State. Everybody's back. Can they play to their potential? You know, can they really be that lockdown group? Tahoka Nanicote, probably the most exciting freshman in 2018, you know, the coming out. And, you know, ridiculous what he did in that fall scrimmage, and it's legendary that behind the back, between the legs, one-handed, circus shot that he scored on. Midfielders, you know, these guys are going to be carrying the water this year, but, you know, you've got Kyle McClancy, who's very capable. Josh Egan is another guy that can make some things happen. This team, man, they look complete. They do. On paper, they look really, really complete. I think the thing for me that causes pause, and I've got them ranked sixth in the preseason, which is much lower than a lot of other people, is are they going to be too fun and gun? Are they going to be too, you know, razzle-dazzle and make mistakes and allow opponents to take advantage of those miscues? That's what I worry about with this team. They start the season at Syracuse. Then they get Drexel, Cornell. Then they go at UMass, at Maryland. So that's a pretty nice first five games of the season. I mean, I think that first game of the year, they might run Syracuse out of the dome, you know, with what they have, with their face-off. And with the,
that'd be something.
It would be. I'm not predicting that, but I'm, you know, there's a part of me that I'm like, man, they could really whoop up on the Orange in that first game of the season. It's going to be, you know, keeping them focused all year.
Yeah.
And then the quarterfinals, of course, you know, is a place where they've been a dead end. And two of those games, 2007 against Cornell, that was the Max Sebald Cornell team, and then a couple years ago with the Thompsons, they led those games late, you know, against Cornell and against Notre Dame. Now, look, completely, really different era back in 07 and a completely different team that was 2014, I want to say. And then they got to the quarterfinals last year, and Maryland was just better. They played a complete game. So Albany has all the tools. They've got all the pieces to make a run at championship weekend. It's just, you know, mentally, can they stay focused and not get too far ahead of themselves.
Look at their returning leaders in scoring. When's the last time you saw numbers like that coming back?
This is Xbox Live kind of stuff.
117 points for Fields, which is just insane.
Yep.
48 points, 42 points, 30 points of their top four guys coming back. That's amazing.
It's a lot. And Connor Fields, man, look at that, 117 points. That's ridiculous. He's a great player.
Yeah, he really is. Unassuming looking kid, though.
Big time. Big time. And look, you know, I think it's going to be fine, but, you know, he's going to have to develop chemistry with Tahoka even more, you know?
Yeah.
So
I'm just looking at their 2017 results and just almost forgetting how fantastic their season was. Mm-hmm. You know, a one-goal loss to Syracuse in the first game of the season, a one-goal loss to Maryland. And wasn't that like a makeup game?
Like yeah, that game was rescheduled because of cold. We had that cold streak where several games were postponed or canceled rescheduled.
So, you know what? It was probably I don't know when it was supposed to be. And then
that game was supposed to be in March, I believe, and was played early. In April.
Yeah.
When was it? I don't remember when it was played.
So they lost 2 1-goal games to good teams, mm-hmm. and then ran the table.
Yep.
And lost to Maryland in a quarterfinal. Wow, what a season.
Yeah. And they'll get Yale again this year. Yale will play Albany late season. That's going to be a tilt.
So let's talk about the team that beat them twice last year. Our number 2 team in the Maverick Media Poll preseason edition, the Maryland Terrapins, the attacking champions.
Yeah. Yeah, John Tillman, make no bones about it. We're not going to be defending champions. We're going to be attacking champions, and I've got them ranked second in my preseason poll. And so you know, after the championship game, you kind of pack your collegiate stuff away and you go about your summer, and then the fall rolls around like, oh yeah, yeah. But then when you start doing prep for the season and you're looking at Maryland, you're like, oh my God. I mean, these guys have so much coming back. They really, really do. Connor Kelly, I mean, you mentioned a favor for the Tuaritan. Mine might be Connor Kelly. I just think he's a terrific player. You know, last year on the run to the national championship, you had Rambo and Heacock, Isaiah Davis Allen. They were kind of the, not comic, Rambo and Heacock were definitely comic relief. IDA was more of, you know, hey guys, this isn't the end of the world, you know, but let's get this done. Connor Kelly was the one, you know. I think about that shot every single day. The shot he took against North Carolina in 2016 final that was saved, and then it went down the other end and Carolina converted the EMO into a goal. But he was the guy that would just look you dead in the eye and be like, I think about that shot every single day. I think about it when I wake up. I think about it when I go to night, you know, go to bed at night. I want to win. I want to win a national championship. And he got it. So I think the gorilla is off the back of the Terps, but Connor Kelly is sensational. Maryland's attack, you know, you lose Rambo, you lose Heacock, you lose Maltz, but then you move Jared Bernhardt down. And all reports out of College Park is he is sick.
Yeah, I heard someone say they think he might be the best player on the team, which is hard to believe.
Which is, and he's just so smooth, athletic, fast. So, you know, this attack is going to be more athletic, I think, than the one that was there. And that's scary to say when you consider
a player of the year.
A player of the year.
All-American.
And then Colin Heacock, who stepped up in such
a four-year starter.
Terrific in big-time situations. Then you look at the defense. You know, Dan Morris is back in the goal, and I thought he was great down the stretch last year for Maryland. You get Bryce Young, Curtis Corley returning, Matt Neufeld at long stick midfield. I mean, this team is – Maryland's in a position now where they're reloading every year. They got so many good players.
Well, they've been reloading for a long time. They just finally got the monkey off their back, you know.
You're right. Yeah, we can't refer to 1975 anymore,
no.
You know, which is, you know, which is great for the Terps. You look at their schedule, open with Navy. Then they get Marist at home. Then they travel to High Point, Penn, Notre Dame. First five games of the year. Similar styles, you know, for most of these teams. You know, a little low scoring.
They'll come out of – they're undefeated coming out of February for sure.
You don't see any pitfalls?
No knock on those teams. But
right.
I mean, we're talking about the team that's number two in the country.
I don't think they've beaten – they haven't beaten Notre Dame the last couple regular season games. They have not beaten the Irish. So that is always – been a low-scoring game, but Notre Dame, I think, has come on top, out on top at least the last 2 years, maybe the last 3 years in the regular season.
Sure.
But, hey, it's regular season. And I like the fact that Maryland's kept the rivalry up with a couple of these ACC schools, Notre Dame and North Carolina, the Carolina game we played in California this year.
They should be playing.
I agree. I got no problem with it. Playing. I just said I liked it.
Yeah.
Sure, what's the matter with you?
All right, let's get to our number one team, the Duke Blue Devils.
Yeah.
Return a lot of players, and a guy who probably doesn't get, it's hard to believe and funny to say, it doesn't get the recognition he deserves in Justin Gutterton.
Yeah, and a lot was made of the USILA.
Oh, we're going to get to that.
Preseason player of the year that came out last with Gutterton.
We're going to get to that.
Okay, with Gutterton not being included. I think Gutterding's just not as flashy, if that's the right word, as some of the other guys. You know, when you talk about your Ben Reeves and Pat Spencers and...
How do you Connor not Fields. How 97 points not flashy and a balanced 97?
Hey
points.
Man, I'm
I hear you.
I'm just bringing it up.
I'm just
bringing it up.
Okay, keep going.
But he's sensational. He's terrific. Second team All American a year ago. I think. But okay, offensively this team is going to be very very good. What does it for me for them is I think the defense is going to be really strong this year. Cade Van Raphorst, I think, is a dark horse for first-team All-American. And that might be, you know, saying a lot because he wasn't All-American last year, but I think he is just really developed. JT Giles-Harris is another one that's terrific. They got an experienced goaltender in Danny Fowler. He's going to have to up his game, I think, and be a little bit more consistent, a little bit more effective in 2018. Peter Conley is a transfer, a fifth-year guy coming from Georgetown, who I think is really good. He's very, very good, and I think he's going to fit in incredibly well down at Duke and be a nice compliment to Brad Smith, who is their best returning midfielder. This team's just solid. Like that's the word that comes to mind when you think about Duke in 2018 is solid, you know, and they're balanced. And when John Donowski gets a hold of a team with those kind of characteristics, you know, look out. I think this is a blueprint type Blue Devil team that he can win a national championship with. And therefore, they're my number one preseason team, and obviously they're the number one preseason team in the
face
first
off your
IO
book and the media
Maverick,
and the Maverick media poll.
Media poll. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, and you know they're going to play loose and probably get better as the season goes on because that's what Duke does.
And I look at their schedule: High Point, Jacksonville, Denver, at Penn, Richmond. First five games, I see them losing to Denver on February 17th. Even though it's at home, I see them losing to Denver.
Sure,
I could see them losing to Penn at Penn. I could see them losing maybe to Richmond at home, but they're going to get better as the season goes on.
They're built for May.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, that's our top 20. Dix, let's talk about this USILA Player of the Year watch. The USILA, man, used to be the governing body, basically, of college lacrosse.
Okay.
And, what purpose does the organization serve now?
I don't know. You would know better than me.
They come out with an All-American team,
right?
At the end of the year,
right?
I think they have they sponsor the weekly poll,
right?
That runs alongside our poll inside Lacrosse Maverick Media poll.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of colleges sort of take that as like the preferred poll,
right?
Not our media poll, but I guess that's the coach's poll.
Mm-hmm.
But man, this list. Hold on, before we get, some people might not know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
The USILA came out with a Player of the Year watch last week with Connor Fields, Ben Reeves, Connor Kelly, Trey LeClaire, Grant Ament, Pat Spencer, offensive players. Two face-off guys, Fogos, and Trevor Baptiste and Gerard Arcari. And then there were some defensemen. Chris Sabia from Penn State, Ben Randall from Ohio State, and LSM, John Sexton from Notre Dame. So we're just, it just, this list didn't make much sense to a lot of lacrosse people
yeah.
who follow it. So we're looking at it now and trying to get some answers.
Right.
So there's 11 guys on it.
Mm-hmm.
Why 11? Why not 10 or a dozen? 11 seems like a funny number, right? And then
it's
not even a guy at each position.
Yeah. No goalie.
Two face-off guys.
Two Fogos. All right, so let's just...
So if you're making a watch list, I don't know, why not just put 25 guys? A lot of the ones, the names of star players that we talked about.
Right.
Can't you put more guys on it? Like, why would you limit it to a number of 11?
Well, maybe they... First of all, maybe... And I'm just totally... It's total conjecture on my part, but maybe they don't want to be the Tourathon, you know, with the watch list and 50 players or...
I know, but they called it the Division I watch list.
All right. So right
they
away,
didn't have to call
right,
it that.
Right away, you're poking holes in my argument, which is fine.
Okay,
look, let's cut to the chase. Okay, when I look at this, all right, first of all, and I say the same thing about the Tourathon, no defenseman should ever be on a Player of the Year watch list just because a defenseman will never win it.
Yeah, I mean...
A defenseman's never going to win it. We're not going to have a Charles Woodson who won the Heisman back in the late 90s just because people were sick of Peyton Manning.
But he also returned kicks. Charles Woodson did a bunch of other things, too. But you're right. You're right.
A defenseman's never going to win Player of the Year in this day and age. And they're never going to win the Tourathon.
And there's three of them on here?
Ben Randall, Chris Sabia, John Sexton is a long stick midfielder. So you got three defensive players right off the bat.
And you got two faceoff guys. To your point about the looking through the faceoff yearbook, and we go conference by conference and pick the Player of the Year. You know how many defensemen were the preseason pick for Player of the Year?
Zero.
By the
.0
Correct. One, Fogo, Trevor Baptiste, who, you know.
Tourathon finalist a year ago.
Was the preseason favorite in the Big East.
Right.
But no defenseman made it in any of the other leagues where there's a lot of great defensemen.
The defensemen this year in college across are legit.
Yeah.
They are fantastic.
But there's also some amazing offensive players, too, especially at the tack position.
Right.
And most of the time, in almost every conference, one of those guys was the preseason favorite.
Yep.
So this list just is—it's lacking. It's leaving me with a lot more questions than answers.
Look, it is. I agree with you, but again, it's a preseason list,
and it leaves off guys like Justin Gutterding.
Justin Gutterding was left off. Jeff Teat was not part of it. Michael Sowers from Princeton. Chris Cloutier from North Carolina. Maybe with what he's done in his career, could be, you know, mentioned in the same breath. My biggest issue, okay, again, one, there's no goalie. You should have a goalie on there. If you're going to have three defensive players, throw a goalie on there just for the heck of it. Okay.
Agreed.
But by and large, keep the D-men off.
Or make a team, like to your point. Like,
okay.
You know, like, look, there's 11 guys. We'll put 12 on there, and we'll make, like, a team so it looks like.
Sure.
You know,
mirror, like, an All-American team kind of thing. The other thing is you got two Fogos and one. It's hard to call Connor Kelly a two-way middie, although he will take some wings on faceoffs. He will get back in the hole if needed, but he's an offensive midfielder. I think you could have, when you have more Fogos than you have point-producing up-and-down middies, that speaks to how much the game has changed. And along those lines, I would have put Brad Smith from Duke in the mix. I would have thrown Ryan Conrad from Virginia into the mix.
Joel Tinney
from
there.
Hopkins could have been in the mix. Here's the other thing, too. Like, if you're going to show all that much love to defense, where's Zach Goodrich from Towson?
Agreed.
I mean, that guy is lights out, you know? You got a long stick middie and John Sexton. Why not throw Zach Goodrich on there? So I mean, obviously, this generated a lot of buzz on Twitter, and you know, people came after me because I think I tweeted out about the Fogos and no middies, and people were like, "What about Gutterding? What about you know?" I'm like, "Okay, look, at least okay." I'm not saying Gutterding being off the list is legit. He should be on the list, but at least you have what Connor Fields, Ben Reeves, Trey LeClaire, Grant Amon. You've got four attackmen. You've got the attack well represented. The other thing people had issue with were three Penn State Nittany Lions.
That was a surprise.
It was a surprise. It was because you think about it. You think about like a Big Ten team. Let's say you wanted to throw three guys. I probably would have gone Maryland. I mean, I probably would have gone Connor Kelly,
Bernhardt,
or maybe Matt Neufeldt, Longstick Mitty, and Dan Morris in the goal. I probably would have gone that direction. You know, they're the defending conference and national champions. I may have thrown three Maryland Terrapins out there. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Sabia, Ament, or Arcero.
All good players.
Great players.
But just when you're eliminating to 11 players in the entire Division I nation,
right.
It seems odd.
It was a little off. Yeah, it was.
All right, Tix, we've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah.
Let's get to the first games of the year. There's some good games this weekend. Kick off the season. The Furman-Vermont game, which is on Thursday, it's a pretty interesting game. I think Vermont won in overtime last year. That should be interesting. But here's my list of games that I'm interested in watching this week. Air Force at Duke. Some uncertainty around the Air Force program, which we've talked about. And I want to see the number one team in the land play.
Well, and the Falcons have had Duke's number over the last couple of years. Will they be able to replicate that? I'm not so sure this weekend.
A game up in New England that our own Kyle Devitt's going to be at, Providence at Boston University.
Yeah, and, you know, Chris Gabrielli doing a nice job with the Friars and BU. We talked about it earlier, a new, you know, kind of a new identity. So we'll see how that one shakes out.
Ohio State at Cleveland State. I think this is notable because Ohio State, the major state university, is going to Cleveland State to play inside at their bubble in the, you know, the second year of their program. I want to see how Cleveland State's gotten better, and it'll be fun to see what Ohio State can do coming off of their national championship run.
Yeah, and you know, it's exciting in the state of Ohio when you consider Ohio State Buckeyes went to the national championship game last year. The Ohio Machine won Major League Lacrosse. I think this is cool. This could develop into a significant rivalry as Cleveland State, Dylan Sheridan, continues to build his program.
Villanova at Penn State in what I think might be the most interesting, most important game this weekend.
Yeah, Penn State with some new pieces, and they won last year's game 17-12, so a lot of scoring. But Villanova, I think, like we mentioned earlier in the podcast, I think Villanova is going to be better this year than people think, so it could be a real test for Penn State in a game that will probably be played indoors at the indoor facility that the Nittany Lions have.
And then there's two more games real quick. Robert Morris at Rutgers. Robert Morris is much improved.
He's tough.
Yeah,
he's a tough guy. He is tough.
Bobby
Moe is improved. Excited to see what Rutgers, you know, how they come out of the gate mentally, you know, dealing with the loss of Charlene Beattie's, still fresh in their minds, but also, you know, you want to get the 2018 season off on the right foot with such high expectations of Piscataway.
And then John Galloway in his second season as the head coach of Jacksonville takes on the Navy midshipmen down in Jacksonville. It's an interesting game.
Big time. Jacksonville ended last season with three wins out of the last four or five games, so kind of like college football where you get that bowl win after what's considered a disappointing season. Can you carry that momentum into the new campaign? And I know Jacksonville's excited to host the midshipmen, and they got some questions of their own, but they're looking to rebound from what they consider to be a subpar 2017.
Now, that game is on Sunday, and there's another big game on Sunday, Dix. Who do you like, Eagles, Patriots?
I tell you, I was really rooting for those Jaguars in the AFC Championship game. How can you bet against Tom Brady?
And Belichick, I know.
I mean, I think they might be deified after this game. So you got to, you know, my heart.
After the game, I think, parts of the country.
You're probably right.
So here's an interesting fact about this game. I think the Patriots will win, too. I grew up an Eagles fan outside in Wilmington, suburb of Philly. Obviously, we're rooting for them. All my friends will be rooting for them. But, you know, there's three guys who played college lacrosse on the the staff for the Patriots. Well, actually, four if you count.
We got Belichick. Pellegrino.
From Hopkins, like Mike Pellegrino.
Mattis, who was a face-off guy, face-off coach at Maryland.
And Steve Belichick.
Steve Belichick.
Who
okay.
is Mattis is a buddy. So Steve Belichick now is like, again, he played defense at Rutgers. I think he and Mattis were roommates.
Well, there's also a number of lacrosse players playing in the Super Bowl. So you've got Chris Hogan.
Everybody talks about him, but I thought
Chris Long.
That's right, Chris Long.
Howie Long's son.
Yeah, that's right.
For the Eagles, and there's a third, and it's escaping me at this time, but I think there's a third player in the Super Bowl that is a lacrosse player.
But I find it very interesting that there are these college lacrosse players who are now coaching NFL football and doing a really good job with it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I hope the Eagles win. I just want a good game. I'll say it like that. Like, I know it's cliche, but I just want a good game. But I tell you what, I don't get a lot done when I go on Instagram these days because I follow Barstool Sports, and the Philadelphia football fans are freaking gold for Barstool Sports. I mean,
These are my people.
It's the gift that keeps on
this is what I grew up
giving.
With.
The dude, okay, so the guy drove the dune buggy up the steps of the art museum to the Rocky statue. the officials,
there's like a subway guy, like
that guy, and he got interviewed. I haven't seen the interview, but they were talking to him like, yeah, he's going full throttle and gets taken out by an inanimate object, the pole that everyone, you know, it's blue. The authorities in Philadelphia greased all the light poles so people couldn't climb.
Yeah, climb the light post.
And the other thing that's scary is you got these people running around with the dog masks.
Yeah.
So it's,
I didn't.
It's great.
Typically, they were sold out. You couldn't get those anywhere in the Philadelphia market.
No kidding.
Because, yes.
Wow. Which one did you
get?
They
were home dogs.
Which one did you get?
I got a
Scooby.
Are you
a German Shepherd?
No, man,
or
I got
a
Scooby-Doo one that I can double as a Great Dane for
the
Albany Great Danes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good. I want it to be a good game. Just have a good game. Entertaining game. I'd like to see the Eagles pull it out, but, you know, I haven't been in the NFL that much this year. You're rolling your eyes at me. Why are you rolling your eyes at me?
How come?
It's just all the stuff going on, and, you know, the Ravens weren't that good, and I don't know.
Okay, well, because of the Ravens, I get it, but.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I still watch the NFL because of fantasy. I mean, you got to watch because of your fantasy football leagues.
Oh, by the way,
I
won my fantasy football league.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
I didn't see any of those winnings. I didn't see a sandwich come my way or a beverage or anything of that nature, but congratulations.
I'll take you out to lunch sometime.
Congratulations hoarding your winnings. Good for you. What's the name of your team?
This one, Chupa Zamp.
What?
So when I was in high school, before every home basketball game, there was this really young guy who was our math teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Taught like calculus and stuff. His name is Mike Chupa.
Okay.
And Mr. Chupa, we would go to his house. He lived on like our campus, and we would get his amp or whatever. His big amp, and we would bring it over because, you know, it's like late 80s.
Right.
And that's what we would put down. That's how we'd play our music before every game.
Oh, cool.
We'd get Chupa's amp.
Look at you.
Yeah, it was cool.
Chupa's amp.
So I'm in this league with all my high school buddies. And
gotcha.
Chupa's amp. Chupa's amp has won two out of the last 5 years, I think.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm in two leagues, and the one league, I'm the Catalina Wine Mixer. That's my team.
I just watched that. And last night was on in my house,
and I never changed that name. That name,
Catalina Wine Mixer.
That name stays the same in a league with some buddies. And then I'm in a league of like older, but like guys I've broadcast with before in the Baltimore area, whether it be radio, television, whatever. And that this year I was Globo Jim. But I change the name of that team every year.
Yeah.
So I've been in that league. This year I was Globo Jim. In years past, I've been Love Me Sexy. What else? Jerk Store. So I try to come up with like cool. But Globo Jim I thought was a fantastic name. Baba Booey. I was Baba Booey last year. I made it to the championship and lost but being Baba Booey.
So in our Inside Lacrosse League, I got to give a shout out to our podcast brethren. They made it to the championship game. I lost. I had the number one seed, but I lost to Kyle Devitt in the semifinals.
Oh, wow.
And then Devitt lost to Dan Avern, but this is the greatest thing ever. So we use ESPN as the host of our thing.
Right.
And for whatever reason, the way it's set up is if you are the higher seed in the playoffs, you get 3 points as like a home field advantage.
Okay.
Kyle complained when he played me about this home field advantage, of which he won the game. But the next week in the Super Bowl, he and Ahburn tied 77-77 in one of the most miserable fantasy football matchups ever. Yeah. But Ahburn won because of the 3 points of the home field advantage, of which Kyle vociferously complained about a week before. It was like the greatest karma thing of all time.
That is a pretty stupid rule. Like, why give 3 points?
It gives
for
you a little bit of credit for being good all season long.
Oh, so this is just in the playoffs?
Yeah, just in the playoffs.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I guess so. Well, so the one league I play in, we do Yahoo, and they do the decimal points.
Yeah.
And then the other league I did was CBS, and we did not do decimal points, and we ended up with, I ended up with like two or three ties in the regular season, and not only me, but it was an inordinate amount of ties. So that's the first thing on the commissioner's docket to address in the offseason is having the decimal point scoring.
Another way to do it, tiebreaker by how many points are on the bench.
Yeah, that's the way we do it now. But in the regular season, I don't think they incorporated that.
It just makes you manipulate your bench better, knowing that that is a possibility.
Yeah, a lot of ties, but oh well.
You know what we won't get this season? We won't get any ties in college lacrosse.
That is true.
We'll play overtime.
You play until there is a winner.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to it, Dix.
Sudden victory.
So we've been at it for a while here. I'm going to edit this bad boy down a little bit.
Okay.
And we will see you next time on the D-Fly and Dixie podcast with some real game action to talk about.
Let's get it. WTF? Question mark.